Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room, formerly known as the Locker Room app. Guys, Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps. What's up, guys? Well, obviously this opener did not go our way, but it's not exactly like under Matt Nagy, the Bears specialize in victories in week one. We tend to pile them on afterwards. So if the pattern holds, we've started all three seasons under Matt Nagy 3-1. That means we're about to rattle off three straight victories before we head into October. So chin up, Bear fans. It's a long season. We got an extra game this year, and we got a tough schedule ahead. So it might get testy after a while. But we got the Bengals this week. But before we do that, we got to recap this one. It's getting time to get into the deep dive, and we got our knee-jerk reactions, and I've had some time to formulate some thoughts about the game, so let's go ahead and dive right in. It is the Week 1 review episode of the Bears Talk Underground, so let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone ringing out loud. I think I've made it pretty clear all summer long that I felt like an outcome like Sunday's was possible, that the Rams would come out, and I believe the Rams to be the class of the NFC right now. Like, adding Matt Stafford to what they had last season, I thought was going to be a recipe for success for the boys out there on the coast. But, even though I thought a game, like, or a score, I should say, of the final score that we had, 34-14, was possible, I didn't think it would be possible the way that we got it. You know, we were basically, three big mistakes away from this being a completely different football game, or at the very least, in my opinion, the Bears having the ball towards the end of the game, trying to go and win it, kind of thing. If we remove those two huge defensive blunders, we're looking at a 6-point game instead of a 20-point game. It's amazing how different, you know, or how much of an impact plays like that can have on a football game. You know, it's one thing if it was like Montgomery's run to start off the football game. His first carry of the 2021 season was a 41-yard run. It was an impact play. It changed the field, but in the end, because of Andy Dalton's interception at the end of that drive, it was a play that ended up having no real impact on the game. instead with the Rams, both of their big impact plays were touchdowns and had a huge, huge impact on the final score. So if we can find a way to eliminate those gigantic brain farts in our secondary, and hopefully that's just something that we can correct watching film over yesterday and today, I guess, to correct that, to find out who it was exactly that blew the assignments. Was it Tashawn Gibson? Was it Marquis Christian, our nickelback, or was it Eddie Jackson, who's supposed to be back in a Fangio-like system that made him an all-pro player a few years ago? Isn't he supposed to be playing, the deep center like he did under Fangio, or do they still have him splitting the field with Gibson and everything like that? But who made the mistake? All I know is that both of those plays, never mind the Van Jefferson gaffe as far as like not touching him when he was down, he was wide open and made an uncontested catch. That was the main problem there. Obviously it was exacerbated by the fact that nobody touched him and he got up and just walked into the end zone for a touchdown. But the real problem was he was wide open. It was the Cooper Kupp play, all over again, only this time he got behind everybody in the third quarter for Cooper Kupp. Both of those were momentum plays. Both of those killed the Bears, and it turned out to be the real difference in the game. Obviously Dalton throwing an interception on the opening drive, but that was like the real difference maker in that. I mean, it's 14 points for against an offense that's not exactly known for lighting up the scoreboard against good defenses, because we did it 4 weeks in a row against the Lions, the Jaguars, the Vikings, and the Texans. It's like those were bottom five defenses that we did that to last year, not top five defenses too. So, we've got to find a middle ground on offense, because it's feast or famine with the offense, or at least it was last year, and it's proven to look that way this year. The problem is with the main catalyst for success and variety and everything is on the bench and played five snaps on Sunday night. So yeah, I didn't want him out there. I tell you, because it's going to tease things. It's just going to make things worse. And that's all I've been seeing today, is people upset that Fields didn't play more. It's like, he shouldn't have played at all, man. It's like, honestly, I didn't want him out there at all. I only want him out there if he is our starting quarterback. I didn't want this teasing nonsense where he comes in for a play here, a play there, or anything like that. So, I mean, because he's even doing it wrong. He's sending him out there for one play and then calling him back to the bench. It's not like, okay, you got this series or this package.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Of plays is yours. The red zone is yours. That kind of thing. It's like, no, we're just going to bring him in for a random second and eight and run a reverse that Andy Dalton is completely capable of handing off a reverse or anything like that. So, Anyway, we got knee-jerk reactions. Let's go ahead and get started. It wasn't pretty after the first quarter because we're coming off the heels of Andy Dalton throwing the interception on the opening drive after an amazing run from David Montgomery, basically picking up right where he left off in 2020. You have the Van Jefferson touchdown where Eddie Jackson and Tashawn Gibson forgot they weren't in high school or college again, and it just wasn't looking pretty. After the first quarter, not exactly the greatest outlook for things when it was all going down the way that it was.
Knee-jerk reaction, Bears, Rams after the first quarter. And after a day that was filled with some good football and some upsets today, you kind of felt like, you know, maybe we do have a shot at this thing. We started with the football. And 41 yards of rushing, you know, from Montgomery on his first carry gets us deep into Rams territory. Matt Nagy took all of three plays to get Justin Fields in the game to throw an 8-yard pass to Marquise Goodwin. And then Dalton comes right back in. We have like a false start. Then we have to call a timeout because we're miscommunication, don't know what to do. And then on the ensuing play, Dalton throws a pass into the end zone to no one in particular, and it is picked off by the Rams. So what looked like a promising drive that started with an outstanding return from Khalil Herbert ends in the end zone with an interception. The Rams come right back, three plays, 80 yards, Matt Stafford, a bomb to, I believe it was Jeff Jefferson, the receiver, on which Eddie Jackson, who is wearing his old college number again, I guess thought he was in college again, because Jefferson makes the catch, falls to the ground, and both Tashawn Gibson and Eddie Jackson don't touch him, and he gets up and proceeds to run in the last 12 to 15 yards to complete the 75-yard touchdown from Stafford. So right off the bat, it went from us threatening to score and take a 7-0 lead to us being down 7-0 in a matter of moments. And it hasn't gotten any better since then. We tried to go for it on 4th-and-4. But instead of throwing it to a wide open Cole Kmet, we tried to go to the slant route to Allen Robinson. And just like Mitch Trubisky used to do, he throws it behind Robinson, who's streaking across the field. Robinson doesn't make the catch. Turnover on downs to the Rams. They turn that into a field goal. So they're up 10-0. Our last drive ended with a strip sack of Andy Dalton. The Rams have the football. It's 10-0. They're in Bears territory. It's not going well. Let's see how it goes from here.
Okay, couple of things with the analysis here. Number one, that throw to Allen Robinson, and I know it was probably behind him on purpose because the defenders are going to swipe away in front of the receiver. So maybe put it a little bit behind him. So he's the one that reaches back for it and all that kind of stuff. He just threw it in a way where Robinson basically had to fully extend backwards while his momentum was carrying him forward. And that's why Robinson wasn't able to come down with it. Not Andy Dalton's best throw and a routine throw from our beloved Mitch Trubisky. But, the interception in the end zone, like I said, he was throwing it to no one in particular, because when we go back and look at the replay, I can't tell who he's throwing the football to. I can't. It wasn't tipped at the line of scrimmage or anything like that, so it's not like a defensive lineman or somebody close in the box completely changed the trajectory of the pass. The ball didn't get tipped until it was actually in the end zone, and then it got tipped and floated off to the DB that was sitting in the back of the end zone. But even looking at it, it's like, there were a couple of receivers in the area, neither of which was in a position to make that catch. It just seemed like, going back and looking at it, that both receivers were running away from where the ball was going as opposed to running towards it And, you know, that's why I said he throws it to no one in particular, because when I go back and I look at that play, I can't tell who he's throwing it to. So it looked like that, you know, it was another communication on top of the fact that after Justin Fields completes the play, one play and he's out already, mistake number one. And then we have a false start. So instead of being at like the four, now we're at the nine or something like that. And then, you know, like I said, we have to call a timeout because we don't know what we're doing, which is typical of Matt Nagy and our offense, that just for some reason we can't figure out how to line up. We don't have the right personnel out there. Whatever the problem was, we had to call a timeout. And then we always seem to follow those miscommunication or miscue timeouts with a mistake or a miscue. And sure enough, Dalton throws the interception, ends the drive, and, you know, kind of gives us a taste of what we're looking to for the rest of the night. And it just, you know, it's frustrating to see that, you know, with a full training camp, OTAs, the whole nine yards, all of which Dalton was present for, we still have these foolish problems. Like, we're all just learning from the beginning here. And I don't give a damn what Matt Nagy says about his system needing a few years to be mastered and whatnot. But, you know, it's like he's expecting the offense to be better this year because most of these players have been in the system for several years now. Allen Robinson, this is year number four for him. David Montgomery, year number three. The offensive linemen have all been around for a couple of years except for Jason Peters. Actually, and I haven't heard yet what's going on with Peters or Larry Borum. We'll talk more about that in here in a minute. But, you know, it just to look so disorganized sometimes, and then for some reason to not be able to mentally keep it together on the following play, there's always something else that goes wrong after we have these timeouts. I don't get it. Honestly, I just don't understand what the hell the problem is. You know, I really don't. So that was the frustrating part, and then we come right back. Like I said, we were on the cusp, scoring on the opening drive of the season, taking a 7-0 lead on the road against a really good football team. A lot of people think, including me, this team's going to the Super Bowl this year. They're going to be the Buccaneers of 2021, where they're playing the Super Bowl in their home stadium, and we have an opportunity to go up early, 7-0 on these guys, and instead, you know, whatever happened on that play happens and there's an interception and we walk away with nothing, not a field goal, nothing. We walk away empty handed after putting the Rams on their heels to start the football game. And then, of course, the only thing worse than that is what happened three plays later when a wide open Van Jefferson catches the football. And then, you know, Eddie Jackson is just sadly picking up where he left off in 2020, with just doing foolish things. You know, he hasn't earned a dime of that contract since he signed it. He just hasn't. 2019 was not a good year. 2020 was even worse. And 2021 is not off to a bang up start. That's for sure. You know, when you're supposed to be an all-pro player or an all-level all-pro talent, number one, it's going to frustrate the hell out of your fan base when you play the way that you have. And number two, I'm so frustrated with Eddie Jackson. He's supposed to be one of my favorite players on this team. He's supposed to be the future of this franchise. He's only a fourth-year guy, you know, fifth year. This is number five for him. And instead, he's probably playing his way out of town the way that he's doing this. You know, like there's rumors going around. I read articles and things like that. A lot of them are clickbait, but there's a factual base to them. You know, that 2022 might really be a down year for us because we're going to get rid of a lot of guys and start over. And next year is going to be a dead cap year for us, where we're carrying in a lot of dead money for some guys that we got rid of so we could start over fresh in 2023. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through a season like that. We're probably staring down the barrel of one right now if we have many more week ones going on throughout this year. But going into the second quarter, or at least going into halftime, this knee-jerk reaction, there's a little bit more optimism to it because the Bears were able to make it a football game. You know, the Rams were only able to add field goals instead of punching it in on the third play of the game like they did in the first quarter. We score a touchdown at the end of the half. We make it a ball game. It went from being 13 to nothing and us looking flat and lifeless to all of a sudden we put one on the end zone. We're only down by six. We've got a ball game going into halftime. And really, we were only that one Van Jefferson touchdown away from having the lead or really being in control of the football game.
Knee-jerk reaction, second quarter, Bears and Rams. And the second quarter did not start well, that's for sure. We did not look good on offense. It was like the same thing that's been plaguing like me personally with the Bears offense. It's like Montgomery had like 60 yards on four carries, and yet he kept coming out of the game. We kept putting Damian Williams in there and giving him a carry every once in a while and all that kind of stuff. The things that used to make me nuts last year when it came to David Montgomery in the running game, same thing that was going on in the start. I think that Nagy is kind of seeing the light here because Montgomery was the only back on the field on the last drive of the first half, with Montgomery grinding out some good yardage and ran it in from about 4 yards out to make it 13-7. The Rams had added another field goal. Aside from the one play where Eddie Jackson forgot that he wasn't back in Alabama again and didn't touch the receiver when he was down, the defense has actually been pretty good. The Rams aren't lighting us up or making us pay for every little thing. We're cinching up in the red zone and forcing field goal attempts instead of giving up touchdowns. We're basically one big play, one big broken play from being ahead right now, to being ahead like 7-6, or maybe it's a 9-7 ball game instead of being down 13-7. To the Rams. So, I mean, defense, aside from that one play, I can't really complain. It's the offense that was very, very shaky right up until that last drive. And Dalton looked good. He was completing passes. We were, he even had a nice scramble that got us inside the 5-yard line that set up the run to Montgomery. So maybe we finally got our rhythm going on that last drive. But, so we're within a score now. It's 13-7. The Rams start with the ball, though. So we'll have to come out, get a good three and out, see if we can get the offense going. And, it all goes kind of back to the keys to the game from the show. Like, one of them was we need to sustain drives and give our defense a break because the Rams were wearing us out there in the early going. But that drive for the touchdown, getting, ate up a nice little section of the clock, got some first downs, finished it off with a touchdown, gave our defense a breather because they've been playing well. Aside from that one play, I like what we're seeing from the defense. They are keeping this explosive Rams offense under control. Hopefully that carries over into the second half. Hopefully our offense can pick up where the last drive left off. We just keep going move the chains, keep the clock rolling, give our defense a break so we've got the gas to play with the Rams in the fourth quarter. So attitude's a little bit better, outlook's a little bit better. We're down by a score, but we've got a ball game now.
So like I said, the outcome is better. My attitude was better because we've got a football game now. It didn't look like we were going to get rolled in our own, not in our own. We're not at home, but rolled, in the season opener. I didn't want to see happen to us what had happened to Green Bay against the Saints. They got blasted 38-3 against the Saints. And Jameis Winston looks like the second coming out there after throwing 5 touchdown passes against them. But what I was saying was true. You take away that one big play and the defense was actually playing well. The Rams were very one-dimensional in the first half. If they didn't move the ball through the passing game, they could not run it on us. And you'll hear me mention, I think going into the fourth quarter, the Rams had less than 20 yards rushing in the ball game. So it was all up to Stafford and company to move the ball through the air because the running game was stifling. We weren't giving up anything there. Roquan is a beast once again, running all over the place. He led the team in tackles again. I think he'll had 11 or 12 on the game. Akeem Hicks was doing things. You know, Robert Quinn got half a sack, you know, so it didn't take him. You know, he's at least on the board. Can't say that for Khalil Mack, though, but, you know, he got half a sack. Him and Akeem Hicks teamed up for one. So, you know, it was looking better. Like, we settled down. We didn't let anything big happen there in the second quarter, and we cut the deficit down. We put a good drive together of our own. Like I said, Andy Dalton was efficient, moving the chains, made a really nice throw to Jimmy Graham to get us down inside, I believe, the 10-yard line or close to the red zone, actually, because I think his scramble followed after that. But a really nice throw to Jimmy Graham. I mean, you could see it coming a mile away. That's, for all of his faults and for him not being the weapon that he was in his days of New Orleans or Seattle, Jimmy Graham is still a valuable asset on the offense, because you line him up one-on-one. He was going up against Jalen Ramsey, possibly the best corner in all of football. He went one-on-one with Ramsey, and Ramsey couldn't stop him. When you're 6'7", and you weigh 260, any corner in the league is tiny with you. And a jump ball situation, all Graham has to do is just make sure he gets his hands on the ball, and he caught it. And it was a third down play. We converted. The very next play, I believe, is the one where Andy scrambled for the first down. And then a play or two later, Montgomery breaks a tackle from Aaron Donald and squirrels his way into the end zone to make it a one-score game going into the half. So a lot of things were changing. The optimism was up at halftime. But sadly, sadly, it took all of 90 seconds into the third quarter. So when I was saying, like, oh yeah, let's come out, we'll get a good stop, we'll put the ball back in our offense's hands and see if we can't, shrink that deficit, get a field goal on the board, or actually put a touchdown on the board, see if we can't be winning this thing at the end of the third quarter. No, took us 90 seconds. We have another meltdown in the secondary, and it goes from being a 13-7 game where we're one score in this thing, and where we can take back the momentum at any time, to all of a sudden the momentum was snatched away, and we were fighting uphill the rest of the night.
Knee-jerk reaction, third quarter, Bears, Rams, and it was a one step forward, two steps back kind of quarter. I mean, it 90 seconds into the third quarter, we have another blown coverage, only this time we just got smoked. It wasn't that we all ran past Cooper Kupp and he got up and ran it in for a touchdown. It was like watching the Chris Conte play on 4th and 8 against the Packers back in 2013, leaving Randall Cobb or whatever wide open down the middle of the field for a gimme touchdown. It was like a 56-yard touchdown pass 90 seconds in to the third quarter. So where we thought we had ourselves a ball game, when we're only down 13-7 at halftime, it took 90 seconds for the Rams to make it 20-7. The Bears then went on a 9-minute drive, moving down the field, moving the chains, getting first downs, giving the defense, a breather, like I said, giving them the breath to be able to, now that we're entering the fourth quarter, be able to compete with the Rams. And finished off the drive, Justin Fields was coming in for a snap here, a snap there, comes in from about 4 yards out, does the run option, it's not so much a run pass option, but, the option, I forget what the hell it's called, the option play with the quarterback. Justin Fields runs it in from about 3-4 yards out to make it 20-14. And then the Rams, again, they didn't burn us for a big touchdown, but they did smoke us again for a big pass play that got them deep into our territory. They, take it in from there. It's 27-14. So for every one good thing that we do, the Rams seem to do two good things, and that's what the disconnect is in the game right now. So we need to stop the Rams on their next offensive drive, and we need to answer this touch. We have the football now. We need to put this thing in the end zone. And, you know, right now I think Sean Desai is doing a terrible job because I've never seen the Bears get gashed like this on big pass plays. I mean, I know we've seen Aaron Rodgers do things from here and there, but, you know, it's been an epidemic tonight of these big, like, blown coverages and the Bears getting calm with their pants down. Fourth quarter, we got 15 minutes to get it right.
You know, the ironic thing of what happened on Sunday night was that the big catalyst for these plays that were taking place, these plays that were gashing us, that were killing us, that were really, really hurting us, were pretty much the fault of the safeties. And Sean Desai is our former safeties coach before he took over at defensive coordinator. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing in reflection of Sean Desai. I mean, I know it's not exactly a great tell of his prowess as a defensive coordinator. If his safeties and his nickelback are so out of play, we're getting smoked for touchdowns that are so easy. The receiver can fall down and get up and then, you know, have the time to get up and walk in to the end zone and whatnot. But it's not a good look, that's for sure, that our safeties coach becomes defensive coordinator and the safeties are the worst players on the field in defense, you know, on the first game of the season. And granted, it's the first game of the season. It was his first real game as a play caller, which then goes back to my frustration over the preseason. And I get where these coaches are coming from, wanting to protect these guys, that, you know, we're paying these players a lot of money, and you want to be sure that your $15 million safety is on the field when it counts, and everything like that. But it's just, you know, we're not the Chiefs. We're not the Buccaneers. We're not one of, you know, we're not the Bills. We're not one of these top level teams in the NFL that you know, has the talent and the, you know, the knowledge and, you know, the coaching and everything to be able to just show up week one and play football, or that the practice field is all the reps that we need to be ready for the season. The Bears are a football team that needs to use the preseason for what it's for, and that is to prepare yourselves for the regular season. Our rookie defensive coordinator really could have benefited from having the starting defense out there, the whole starting defense, not Khalil Mack and this one guy and these other dudes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All of them, all 11 starters on the field playing a quarter or a half in the preseason so that he could get some play calls and watch his defense work in a real game situation before the actual season started. Same thing with our offense and Andy Dalton only getting reps with the 4s, 5s, and 6s during the preseason. And then we're going into week one with literally nobody that he spent throwing passes to in game situations going into week one. You know, because all the people he was throwing passes to on Sunday, he didn't throw a pass to Allen Robinson or Darnell. Well, he did throw one pass to Darnell Mooney that I know of in the preseason, but nothing to Marquise Goodwin, nothing to, you know, Cole Kmet or anything. It was non-existent in the preseason. And, you know, when you're a middle of the road or upper middle of the road football team, you got to take every advantage you have to get better, and Matt Nagy didn't do that. And we're suffering the consequences, quite frankly. But, you know, it was a frustrating third quarter to watch, because, like I said, for every good thing that we did, the Rams seemed to pile on to other things. But when you're the Rams and we're the Bears and the Rams are who we think they are as far as being the class of the NFC and quite possibly winning the whole thing this year, they did what they were supposed to do. We made the mistakes. They made us pay dearly for them. That's what you're supposed to do when you're playing a quote-unquote inferior opponent. Anytime that they make a mistake, you got to pounce and make them pay for it. And the Rams were the better team going in, on paper, at least. And that's what you're supposed to do. We did not take advantage of mistakes. Hell, the Rams didn't really make any mistakes. Aside from being lousy in the running game for the first three quarters of the football game, they pretty much did whatever they wanted to do or what they needed to do, I should say, to be successful on Sunday. And when we made a mistake, boy, did they make us pay dearly for it. That one to Cooper Kupp was a bad look. I mean, it like I said, did you puke in your mouth in a little bit when I mentioned the Chris Conte play on 4th and 8 from 2013? Because that's basically what it looked like. Cooper Kupp just ran by everybody, and he was so wide open. You know, Matt Stafford nearly shit himself. You know, like, oh, God. You know, it's like maybe so excited he overthrows him by 10 yards. He can't believe how easy it's supposed to be. You know, but instead he makes a perfect throw. Cooper comes down with it in stride, waltzes into the end zone. And like I said, it went from being a 13-7 ball game to now we're down 20-7 and we're back to climbing uphill, again. I mean, we answered 9-minute drive, you know, capped off by our rookie quarterback running it in, and read option was that is the phrase that I was looking for. I was sitting there trying to talk my way into what it was I was trying to say. Read option is the that is what we were trying to do, where the quarterback reads how the defense is responding before he decides who's getting the football. He decided to keep it himself. He runs in for his first NFL touchdown and cuts the lead back down to 6. But then again, like I said, it wasn't a big touchdown play, but it was more like make Montgomery and his 40-yard run to start the game. But instead, for them, it was the catalyst that led to another score, as opposed to us being an impact play that looks pretty on the stat sheet but didn't affect it anywhere else. It was a play to, I think it was Higbee, the tight end, and he was so wide. He was coming across the field. He was so wide open and, you know, made a catch, and it was like a 40-yard reception that changed the field. You know, the Rams were on our side on their side of the 50, and the next thing you know, they're deep in Chicago territory, and a few plays later, it's a 27-14 ball game, and that was pretty much the end of it. Because in the fourth quarter, we abandoned the running game because we pretty much have to. At this point, we're down 2 scores in the fourth quarter. The Rams then, when they got the football, all of a sudden figured out how to run it, and it was pretty much over from there. So, but the third quarter, that was the quarter that that really kind of killed it for the Bears. I mean, we answered the touchdown when the Rams came out and scored 3 plays into the second half, but it wasn't enough. Defense couldn't answer them in the second half, and they kind of walked away with the ball game. So, I mean, like I said, fourth quarter, we avoided the big plays. They didn't kill us. In fact, it was worse. They methodically ran their way, you know, they started running the football. They were the ones eating up clock, and they were the ones that closed us out.
Knee-jerk reaction, fourth quarter, Bears and Rams as they as the clock is slowly ticking down to 0. 34-14 is the final. It all fell apart in the second half. It really did. Like I said, it took all of 90 seconds for it to be a one-score game, and then we were off to the races to it being a blowout after that. I mean, it's even though the Bears responded to the big play with a touchdown drive of their own, ate up 9 minutes of clock, it took like 5 plays for the Rams to go back down and put it back into the end zone again. You know, it just they started. And then in the fourth quarter, they started carving us up on the ground. You know, it, like going into the fourth quarter, the Rams had like 9 carries for 17 yards or something like that. And then in the fourth quarter, they started gashing us on the ground. It was demoralizing to watch. And then for fun, I guess, or I don't know what the hell was going on, but it just looked like we kept running the offense like we had 3 quarters to catch up. We kept throwing those little 2-yard dump offs and things like that when we're down 3 scores with 3 minutes to go. It's like Nagy was giving up. We're just going out there to run out the clock as opposed to actually trying to make some kind of effort to win the ball game. It's like, I know that it's out of reach at this point, man, but you just, it was aggravating to watch. You know, it at halftime, it just felt like, you know, if not for a couple of mistakes, we're winning this game. We're, you know, like, and for the majority of like the third quarter, and I felt the same way. If not for those 2 blown coverages, we're winning this game. We're outplaying the Rams. And then in the fourth quarter, there was just the Rams outclassed us in the fourth quarter. We couldn't stop the run. We're getting gashed there. They were 0 for third down conversions in the first half. They were starting to get those third downs and extend drives and things like that. So it's like we just got beat in the second half. You know, we're making a game of it in the first half. We should have been ahead at halftime and things like that. And it just it all fell apart in the second half. Mostly in the even though most of the damage was done in the third quarter, it was the fourth quarter that really sealed the fate. That's where the Rams just owned the fourth quarter. You know, probably got caught up on quite a bit in time of possession at that point, really wore the Bears down and put in one final score there at the end. So it's 34-14. Now we get ready to come home to take on the Bengals, who contributed to the entire NFC North starting the season 0-1. So we're still tied for first place in the division. You know, God bless, thank God for small miracles, I guess. Not a good day all around for the NFC North, especially not for our beloved, who looked like early on they were a few mistakes short of being the first team in the division to come away with a victory. And instead, it was as bad as we kind of thought it would be. Because like I said, I think the Rams are one of the best, if not the best team in the NFC right now, and I don't think the Bears are on their level just yet. And it was pretty much from the second half of the third quarter on is when that we started to see that, because the Bears were hanging in there. They were playing the Rams tough. If not for a couple of stupid mistakes, we were probably winning this game. And instead, at the end, the 34-14 final score is apropos of what we saw out on the field today. So, home opener next week. Andy Dalton against his old squad. Maybe a sprinkling of Justin Fields from here and there. But got to get a win next week, because if we don't win next week, we're staring at 0-3 going into Cleveland. Because that's a damn good football team in Cleveland. And if we don't get past the Bengals, we're looking at 0-3. And it could get real ugly after that. So the Bears lose 34-14, fall to 0-1 to start the year. Now we move on to Cincy in week two, see if we can turn this thing around.
It's a 6-1 hand, half a dozen in the other type situation, because with every loss that we suffer, we are one step closer to Justin Fields becoming the full-time starter. I believe that. But I don't want to watch my team lose football games over it week in and week out. You know, I expected us to lose this one. I expect us to win on Sunday, despite how tough the Bengals looked week one. You know, unfortunately, we get to find up close and personal if week one was a fluke for Cincinnati. They were at home and everything. They played a defense that wasn't very good last year that looked to be continuing that trend again here in 2021 in the Vikings. You know, was it the you know, were they just picking up from where they left off with Joe Burrow before he got hurt last year? Or was it the Vikings not being a very good defense again this year? Was it both, or was it neither? Was it just one of those fluky week one victories that you don't see coming? I was kind of hoping that the Bears might be able to pull one of those off, but then Sunday night took place and kind of shot all those dreams straight to hell. You know, and it's not going to be good. The Browns went into Kansas City and really had their foot on Kansas City's throat for the first half, for sure. They were winning 22-10 at halftime. And then in the third quarter, Mahomes and company, those halftime adjustments, man, can really make the difference in a football game. Came back and made it interesting. The Browns still had a 29-27 lead, and then they had the play that they could not afford. They absolutely could not afford it. The punter drops the snap, and in the chaos of him trying to get the playoff while the rush was beating down on him, he ends up getting sacked for the loss. And instead of trying to flip the field was flipped on them. And a few plays later, the Chiefs took the lead and ended up being the game-winning touchdown there. So, again, it was one of those where the Browns are a very good football team, but they made a mistake, and the Chiefs, you know, being the class of the AFC and in, you know, probably in the NFL as well, pounced on that mistake, made the Browns pay for it, and used that mistake to win the football game. And that's pretty much what we watched the Rams do to us with our you know, secondary meltdowns on Sunday. You know, we lost 34-14, but as far as the game was concerned, the Rams were not 20 points better than us. You know, it's just that they made us pay dearly for the mistakes that we made. Those two huge touchdowns there. And I mean, and it those back-to-back mistakes, Dalton's interception compounded by the Van Jefferson touchdown. That's a 14-point swing right there. That's from us being up 7-0 to us being down 7-0 and digging or trying to dig ourselves out of a hole we couldn't get out of the entire evening. So, you know, like I said, through the first 2.5 quarters, you know, because we answered the Rams had the quick strike touchdown to start the second half. We came down, taking up nearly 2/3 of what was left of the third quarter to make it a 20-14 ball game. And then they come right back, that huge play to Higbee that got them deep into our territory to put another touchdown on the board before the end of the third quarter. And that was pretty much it. You know, we were going to be that team that needed 14 plays and 9 minutes to score a touchdown when they needed, you know, 5 plays and 2 minutes and 30 seconds to put a touchdown on the board. And when you're playing in a football game like that, you're just not going to be able to come away with the win. When they have the quick strike ability to score from anywhere on the field, but you're the one that needs to methodically work your way down the ball and score from inside the five to have success, you know, you're in for a long night if you can't keep doing that, because that's hard to sustain. If you can score from anywhere on the field, that's easy. You know, you can score from here, score from there, 50 yards, 30 yards, 20 yards, 90 yards, whatever. But when you're in that team that needs to actually be close to the goal line to score touchdowns, you know, you're going to fall behind early. And that's what happened to us. You know, they turned that 6-point deficit into a 14-point lead by the end of the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, we had no answers. So, you know, and the thing about running the offense there in the fourth quarter, it was the Bears kind of responding to a lesson they should have learned last year when we were playing the Rams, because we were kind of running the offense last night that we should have been running during the Monday night game last year. Because the last year, if you remember, we had Cement Shoes Foles dropping back and making 7-step drops against that pass rush that was constantly up his ass all night long and made Leonard Floyd look like an all-pro pass rusher, you know, because... But instead, we were getting the ball out quick. Andy Dalton attempted, I think, two air passes that went over 10 yards. Like, means he didn't throw the ball downfield more than 10 yards twice in the entire game. And one of them was that 4th and 15 that pisses everybody off. Like, why are we going for it on 4th and 15? We're only down 10. It's, you know, we've got like 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Kick the field goal or punt and drive, you know, let's play field position kind of thing. No, we're going to go for it on 4th and 15, which to me was Matt Nagy showing his opinion of what he thinks his defense's ability to actually stop Stafford from making it worse was. And so he'd rather take the chance to hang on to the football and try to keep it out of Stafford's hands than, you know, punt the ball back to him and give him the ball on purpose. So, yeah, it wasn't a good look, and you know, the quick strike thing, the short quick passes to kind of counteract the pass rush of the Rams and Aaron Donald and all that kind of stuff was good. You know, it was a good strategy, but when you're down 3 scores in 3 minutes to go, if you're not trying to win the football game, just run the ball, just run it. You know, because if you're down with a deficit, you're giving and you're passing the ball, you're giving off the impression that you're still trying to win the game or you're trying to get yourself in a position to win the game. But then you turn around and throw them basically laterals out into the flat and then leaving it up to your running backs and your receivers to do the work from there instead of trying to throw the ball downfield in a situation where you have to. It's like, I know the pass rush is coming, but we've got to get chunks of the field here to be able to get into the end zone. We got to try to produce a big play here. And instead, you're thinking that, you know, number one, we haven't blocked a wide receiver screen the entire time Matt Nagy has been our head coach. And, you know, we're basically trying to run those plays, get our receiver out into the flat, and then have him have some kind of explosive play where he gets it all back in one play. It just wasn't going to happen, you know, and it didn't happen. And it just wasn't a good look. We're sitting there running these 2-yard dump offs when we're down 3 scores with 3 minutes to go in the game. It's like, what are we doing? Are we trying to win the game? Or, you know, are we trying to pull off a miracle here? Or are we just running out the clock? If we're running out the clock, put Damien Williams in there. Put Khalil Herbert in there. I don't give a damn. Run the football. Let the clock tick down. Let's go home and start over. See if we can't get back to 500 with the Bengals next Sunday. Don't give me the impression you're trying to win the game, but also sticking to the game plan at the same time. It looked very bad. It didn't look good at all. And I know that coaches aren't in this for appearances, but if it looks bad, it looks bad. It's going to piss off your fan base, and it did that entirely on Sunday night. Not a whole lot that Nagy and company did on Sunday night went over well. 5 snaps from Justin Fields. He would have been out there more had we not been down by so much, according to Nagy after the game. And like I said, I'm sticking to my guns. I know the kid scored a touchdown. I don't want him out there, period, unless he's our starting quarterback, you know? I don't, because it's the preseason all over again. It's we see, you know, Andy Dalton struggle to do this, struggle to do that, and then Justin Fields comes out and he makes it look easy, but then we yank him off the field to put him back on the bench. It's also David Montgomery all over again. Stop taking Montgomery out of the game. Leave him in there, you know, leave him in there. I know Damien Williams is a good weapon. I'm happy to have him on our football team, but it's like Nagy has no sense whatsoever for sticking with the guy who's got a hot hand. Montgomery, in the first quarter, was averaging 19 yards a carry, but he only had 3 carries in the first quarter. He had 7 more in the second quarter. He had 80 yards rushing at halftime, and then thanks to the deficit that of which we fell behind, he only carried the ball, you know, 6 or 7 more times in the football game. Still broke 100 yards for the game, and he actually did that by middle in the third quarter, but by then we're down 2 scores. We got to throw the football to find our way back into this thing. And the other thing that pissed me off, 1 pass, 1 catch on 1 target to Montgomery coming out of the backfield. And I said this on the Bear Up Bear Down show yesterday. David Montgomery is the best player that we have on offense. It's not Allen Robinson, and it hasn't been since like week 12 of last year. Ever since whatever switch got flipped in Montgomery, whether it was the offensive line finally having a cohesive unit that could block well for him or whatever it was. But ever since that Packers game when we came off the bye, Montgomery has been the best player that we have on offense. Allen Robinson is either 1A or number 2. However you want to do it, but the best player that we have on offense, the guy that the offense should be running through is David Montgomery. He should be the guy that we're throwing it to out into the flat, get him out into open space, and let him work his way up there. Don't bring in Damien Williams for that. Leave Montgomery out there. Throw the ball to him out of the backfield. Let him do what he does, man. He broke Aaron Donald's tackle. I mean, he actually got stuffed in the backfield by a very large defensive tackle, shook it off, ended up turning a like 3-yard loss into a 4-yard gain and things like that. You know, I don't want the Bears to stop using Allen Robinson. I don't want him to not be our primary receiver on passing plays, but the offense should be going through David Montgomery, running the ball, starting to him, and, you know, using the play action to benefit Mooney and Robinson and Komet and Goodwin and Bird and all those guys. You know, we start running the play action and using that more. That's going to help with the pass rush because they're going to have to sit back on their heels to see, are we running the ball or is this just a play action fake? You know, that's going to give, in the NFL, that half second of hesitation from the defense is all you need to be able to get your receiver open downfield. And, you know, I don't know how it is that the fat guy on the couch like me can seem to see that, but Matt Nagy can't because his scheme is brilliant. We just need to execute it more. We just need to execute it better. So, or at least I'm sure that's the hill that Nagy's going to die on. So, and honestly, if he keeps wanting to go with that, I hope that he dies at the end of the season and he gets to go be somebody else's quarterback coach or offensive coordinator in 2022. And we move on with a guy who's willing to adjust to what's happening in the game as opposed to sticking to his guns and waiting for the game to come to him. It's just not going to work. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for week number one. The week number one review is in the books. We now move on to Cincinnati and week number two. We'll be back on Thursday with the first of the preview episodes. We'll have our guest, Kyle Phelps, from the Battle of Ohio podcast, will be joining us to help preview Bears-Bengals for week number two. You know, we'll hit the ground running from there. We'll have the deep dive preview on Friday to get you ready for Sunday. And I'm ecstatic the Bears are playing at noon on Sunday. I don't have to wait until Sunday night because, for number one, I hate Carrie Underwood's version of the waiting all day for Sunday nights. I hate it. I always have. You know who the first person to sing that song was? Pink. And not only is she way hotter than Carrie Underwood, she also has a better voice and is a better performer. And she kind of kicked ass. I loved the intro, like the first year or so where Pink did it. I would like for us to go back to that because, number one, I think Pink is sexy as hell. And, you know, it's just, it's better. I've never liked Carrie Underwood as the singer of the Sunday Night Football song. I hate it, actually. So, anyway, nice little tangent for you guys there. But we're playing at noon, so none of that Sunday night nonsense. Will be noon on Fox at home against the Bengals on Sunday. So come back on Thursday. Myself and Kyle Phelps will get you ready, you know, with some in-depth knowledge of the Bengals and talk about that week one victory over the Vikings, which I had a chance to watch. And we'll see if was it a week one fluke or are the Bengals just picking up where they left off before Burrow got hurt? Were the Vikings still garbage from 2020 on defense? Was it all of the above, or was it just one of those week one crazy things that you see from time to time and one game does not a season make? We'll answer those questions for you on Thursday, and until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.